Hi, my dearest tribe of Gaia. This is Solara Anra, warrior of the light. I am about to be joined by Anrita Melchizedek, and the two of us have made a pledge to you to receive as many questions from you as you would like to bring to us and our guides. The way this works with me is that as I receive a question, sometimes my guides will answer directly, and sometimes I will answer from myself as well. And Anrita does this in her own style. You may call in to BBS Radio, and Don will direct your questions to us so that I can hear you and Anrita can hear you. And he will just do this as the calls come in. First of all, I'm going to get you to ground yourself. So, close your eyes. Really settle into your breath now. Listening to your in-breath and your out-breath. And allowing your awareness of your breath to draw you inwards now. In this way you center and ground yourself, bringing your awareness inside, into your very center. Start to breathe through your prana tube now. Imagine that you have this tube, a beautiful fluorescent glass energetic tube which runs straight in through your crown, through all seven chakras and out through your root chakra. And extend this prana tube up and down now, up as far as you feel comfortable, which might be right into the center of the Milky Way spiral. And extend your prana tube down now as far as you feel comfortable, which might be right into the heart of our planet, into her powerful, beautiful crystal core. And start to breathe in. Breathing in from above and below and into your heart. With every in-breath, you feel the prana life force coming into your heart center, into your chest. And with every out-breath, you feel that heart energy expanding into your aura. And try and stay in this center.
Hello.
Hi, Anrita. I'm just busy.
Hello.
I'm just centering everybody into their hearts at the moment, breathing through their prana tubes.
Wonderful. Okay, good.
Everyone just allow this sense of being in your heart to stay there right through the program if you can, so that you are asking questions and listening to the responses from your higher self, from your heart self, rather than your personality self. So welcome, Anrita Melchizedek. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Solara, and greetings to you too. So I believe that you are joining us from the States today.
I am. I'm in New York in the Shekinah Temple, a place where Krialo Ra, a fellow tribe member, has been instructed to turn what was his old family house into a place of healing and learning. And the nuts and bolts of this is that we are in the middle of a lot of construction at the moment. But the energy is completely here. The place is so energized from the events that we've held here and by the calling in of the higher masters and star beings who are assisting us in our work here. And I'm very excited that the Sunday evenings, which have been promised, the free meditations and gathering of the tribe, are starting again on this Sunday while I'm here. So on this Sunday, the New York tribe is invited to come to the temple for a meditation session with us.
How wonderful, how wonderful. So there's a couple of things there that came up, I think, when you were talking. One is that moving to a place or actually energizing existing places and locations, and I think that is quite important. I've also recently moved and find at this stage I'm also still grounding those energetic frequencies or holding a particular, I call it matrix of light within the space that I'm in. I remember some years ago I used to actually do a little bit, I call it energetic house feng shui.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a better word. And of course, the more you're at that place where you're bringing prayer and meditation and anchoring those frequencies, the more, of course, those frequencies are going to be activated in particular locations, sort of like mini ley lines, so to speak, little mini hotspots of energy that you're assisting and anchoring.
That's
wonderful, wonderful.
Exactly what I found.
Sorry, that you
might be in a place that doesn't seem ideal for spiritual purposes. For instance, in Shekinah, there we are quite close to a main road, and so there is some traffic noise. You know, if I look at the various components of the house, not everything is ideal, and not everything would obviously seem to lead it towards being a temple. But on another level, every single person that steps through the door feels the energy here, because this has been, Kriyalara has been guided every step of the way in the setting up of the energies of this place. And every time we do meditation or any spiritual practice here, it becomes more powerful. So people don't have to be in an amazing, ideal type of space in order for the energy to be very high. It's really through their intention and their consciousness and their practice.
Well, that's a little bit like everyday reality. You know, you can go to the Himalayas and, of course, stay in the cave and meditate and become enlightened, or you can live under a highway of, like a triple highway of cars passing by.
Exactly.
And also, actually, just getting out there in your everyday life, being around people and, as you're saying, holding that essence of light and being in the now. And that is really, I think, the challenge and the gift.
Excellent.
More than anything else.
So, Don, are you a caller that's ready?
We're going to be taking calls, that's right. What we're going to be doing in this particular show is just more than anything inviting all our listeners to call in with the particular any particular questions that they might have. So we have to give you the call-in number. For you to dial in. If you're local to the States, the best number to dial in, I think, if I remember correctly there, is, let me have a look, I've got it here somewhere. If you're local to the States, please call in with any questions you might have for us. I'm 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Otherwise, call us on 1-530-413-4522. That's 1-530-413-4522. We look forward to hearing from you. Great. So Laura, there's a couple of things that actually came to mind when we're talking firstly about this energetic clearing. And one is every day what I do, and I've done this for years. I think it's just something that for me has been a wonderful way to energetically cleanse my space. And that is every night before I go to sleep is, and of course, never mind that I've also had boulders here and I've been renovating, but just generally to keep the space clear, is I bring in the energetic vibration of the Christed One, and then I visualize a white light coming up through my house, or you could even do it in your neighborhood, and I tie it in a bundle above the house, and then I visualize the white light of the Christed One coming in and taking away that. Then I call upon the Pleiadian emissaries of light to bring through a vortice of light. Then I call in Archangel Michael and visualize the shields of light coming around the house. And then also I call in Saint Germain and visualize the violet transmuting flame. And it's something that I actually also do around my own energy field when I'm out, to just protect my energy and to also keep it clear. And there was an energy technique I remember many years ago that I picked up from someone where you call blowing roses, where you blow a rose of any color of your choosing outside of your energy field, and you put in it, you know, kind of the people that you've seen that day, doesn't really matter who it is, to just keep your energy clear between yourself and between the energies of others. And particularly even if you live together, you know, with partners and children, sometimes you can be so caught in frequencies, or you know, not being unclear about even what are your issues or what are the issues of your partners or children.
Yes.
So it's quite a nice way to work, I think, more than anything. So just some energy techniques and suggestions. I don't know if you have any that you work with, that white light. I find quite a lovely one to work with. Also sometimes bringing in pillars of light, very powerful as well in terms of clearing and, of course, connecting into the higher dimensions too.
Yes, I tend to use very, very simple practices. And a lot of it is based on the essential daily practices that are widely used from my website. And the first step of that is calling the light in, calling the white light, which you can do communally as a group, you can do individually for yourself and your energy, or you can do for a house or place where you're staying. And one refinement which my guides pointed out recently, which is incredibly powerful, is that when you call white light or a column of light to yourself, a lot of people see it coming from the infinity of above, and then they see it moving through whatever area they're bringing it. But when it comes to the ground level or the earth level, it seems to stop. And it's very important to watch that light moving down through the layers of the earth and through the crystal beds right into the core of earth, because that automatically grounds it and starts to ground you as well. And I was guilty of that. I was seeing the white light up until the earth's surface and not watching it move down. It's very powerful that way.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I see we have some callers on the line. We've got Centara from California. Welcome, Centara.
Oh, hi. Hi, it's just an honor.
Hello.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say it's just an honor to be with you both. I love you both so much. And I appreciate what you're doing for the planet. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. The question
I have is, I would really like to know, have more of an understanding of what my part in the ascension process is going to be, especially with my connection with the animal kingdom. I just really am trying to get a more of an understanding of kind of where to go with this and how it's the form it's going to take.
Well, my guides instantly have an answer for you, Centara. But it's they give very similar answers to people that are asking on a personal level, what am I supposed to be doing? In other words, you're asking a direct personal question for yourself, your life path, and also how your connection with animals will assist that. And they are not likely to give you that specific information for yourself, but they give a more general answer, but they still are tuned into your energy, so I'm going to give you that answer now. And for any future callers today, it's worthwhile remembering that it's better to ask a general question than it is to ask for something that involves future advice or very personal information for yourself. Okay, so I'm answering that now. I ask for the highest guidance possible to flow through me now to answer Centaura's question about her ascension process and her connection with animals. In many ways, all of you are in the same boat, are you not? Living in the third dimension and trapped almost within your third dimensional physicality. And you are working towards your ascension. You are working towards transforming yourselves and moving up in evolution into a higher vibrational state in which heart energy is all you know, as it is in the fifth dimension. Now the difference between yourself and another earth being is simply your state of awakeness, your level of awakening, and what activates that further is your intention and your work, the work you do energetically with yourself to bring yourself into alignment with higher frequencies. There are some earth beings who are entirely oblivious of all of these concepts. But this does not mean that they are lost or that they will not ascend. The factor in question is their level of vibration. And there are extremely high vibrational beings on the earth plane who have never heard of ascension and who are not practicing energy or meditation techniques. And we do say that most of these are the young ones, for the young ones have less debris to clear from their energy body, joyful and connected and spontaneous as they are. And so for you, dear one, as we tune into your frequency, we say you are doing very well. And for you, it has not been that easy. It has not been easy peasy, 1, 2, 3, to let go of emotional issues which do not serve you and which in the past have brought you down, and yet you are achieving this, are you not? You are moving forward on your chosen path, are you not? And there is nothing further that you need to do or practice. It is simply a matter of staying with what serves you and what is joyful. And therefore your connection with the animals is entirely appropriate. We simply remind you that it is not appropriate to suffer on their behalf, for they do not suffer on an emotional level in the way that you humans imagine. Perhaps the animals which you have domesticated suffer in a more similar way because they have become more humanized. But the ones in the wild are animals, and they are different from you. And they do not suffer on an emotional level because of the contamination around them. In the same way, they are simply in the moment and surviving as they can do best. And so use your energy with them constructively. Connect with them in joy and love, and do not suffer on their behalf. For this is not helpful. It is a hindrance. We do love you, dear one, and we feel your connection with us. Namaste. Hello, Santara.
Hey, you know, that's exactly what I need to know. That's perfect, and I know it helps the rest of us out there who feel the same way I do. So,
Peter, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, Santara, you have a lot of the second ray energy, you know, and that ray is very much about the love wisdom aspect. And of course, the animals themselves don't really have a huge amount of issues, except those that have been, well, I wouldn't say contaminated, but those that have been brought through the humans and through the association with the animals. But the animals, as Solara was saying, in the wild, of course, are just these essence of love. They're all going to ascend. So in part, there is that pull very much towards that frequency of just innocence and love, and expressed, of course, in many different ways. And it's a wonderful thing to have that gift of wanting to work with animals or wanting to work with children, working with others on different levels. And I would suggest, of course, right now, it's just holding that frequency as a keeper of, you know, you can almost call yourself a keeper of love in working with animals, and just holding that frequency as one of a gift that you can magnetize and bring into your reality, because, of course, our manifestations are now happening a lot more instantly in terms of how you would like to proceed in working with that. But certainly on the inner planes, you're working a lot with those frequencies of assisting the animals, and particularly at this stage, animals in need, more than animals just holding that frequency of love. And I get as well, back in ancient Egypt, you had very much a connection as a keeper of lions, working with very much the lion energy, and in this lifetime too, also coming through and grounding into the shamanistic side of Mother Earth, and working very much with the bird energy too, interestingly enough.
That is interesting, because that's what's happening to me now with the birds. Exactly what's been happening with the birds. So I just appreciate everything you said so much about the don't sacrifice myself anymore on animals' behalf, because that's what I've been doing. And I'm no longer going to take that pain in my body anymore. And I need to do that. I've taken on so much pain because of that, and it's just not serving me any longer, and I'm releasing it now. So I just needed to be in your energy and hearing that, and I can't tell you how much it means to me.
Oh, great. Love and thank you to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Santara.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wonderful. So we have now Roberta from California.
I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Hello.
Wonderful. Roberta?
Yes, hello?
Yes, hello. Welcome.
Namaste, Solara and Anrita, beautiful warriors of the light.
can
you hear me well?
We can.
We are on slight delay. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. Welcome. Namaste.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I have a question about co-creation. And, of course, it's an individual question for me, but I'll pose it in a general way. I am on an accelerated path of merging with my I Am presence, and I'm fully dedicated to the light, and there's nothing else that I want to do as to serve. How does one co-create when you are in a long-term relationship with a person who denies ascension and spirituality altogether, and who at this moment is by your side sharing your life and holding a very low vibration and does not support you does not even want to go forward and wants to create turmoil. How do I keep my vibration high every day, and how do I keep the courage to be myself every day when I'm constantly being told I am doing the wrong thing?
I think that's a very common question, Roberta. Often, you know, we have those old soul, well, I wouldn't say soul contracts, more like karmic contracts that we've made with individuals that in this lifetime sometimes become part of our family or partners. And what happens then is when the time is right for you to, again, awaken your multidimensional memories and you do start to make that shift into your multidimensional selves, or in this case, of course, for all of us, it is about merging with our I Am presence and taking on, again, those encodings of light. So you have several options. You know, one, again, it is very much to just focus on yourself and where you're going in terms of your own levels of cosmic consciousness awareness and the shifts and changes that you are creating both individually and as part of the collective. And then you have to look in within your environment, and discernment becomes important. Often people say to me, well, you know, I understand, you know, my partner is where he is or she is, and I'm happy with that, and, you know, and things are okay. But if there's a lot of negativity around you, there's two things. One is you can perpetuate it, continue to perpetuate it as part of karmic contracts and, you know, long-term hope for some other form of solution where you can shift things, you can change things with your own frequency, because of course the more you come into that frequency of love, the greater that you're able to expand that into your environment. A lot of people are also just cutting connections and cords, you know, coming to a point where they're actually just realizing that they sometimes just cannot be around particular people anymore, even if it's long-term partners, simply because of where their frequency is, or actually realizing that they don't want those karmic contracts anymore. The other thing to realize is when you're shifting and changing, often what happens for a short period in time, you can actually feel that you want to separate from your partner or close friends, family, and so on, because you're going through so many changes. You're upgrading the mental body, you completely changing your emotional body frequencies, how you respond, how you connect as you activate the dormant DNA, as you step into this frequency of light. And not only are you going through so many of these ascension symptoms, parallel mergers of reality and timelines, short-term memories, flu-like symptoms, there's a lot going on a planetary level as well, energetic frequencies, magnetic shifts within the planet itself, shifting in and out of the photonic rays, coming through with different light frequencies, planetary events that are also upgrading on different levels, and it can get quite confusing, and often in that moment it causes a separation. So my first suggestion would be, you know, don't choose necessarily to separate as your first option. Have a look first at what is going on in your own reality. Have a look at where you are. And if it's something that's permanently negative in your environment, then you are the one that has to choose that discernment and see how you want to either shift or change it or let go of it.
Yes, I have never wanted to separate before, but it has come to a point where I don't see myself creating in love when I'm constantly bombarded with lower vibrations. It has been very hard.
My guys are saying exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing in their own way. I'm going to give you a little summary of what they're saying, Roberta, or they're going to give you a summary.
Yes.
Sometimes things are very straightforward. And regarding energy between yourself and another who is close to you, they are now very straightforward in that the two choices are to raise yourself in vibration sufficiently that you are unaffected by those around you and are able to move forward in such a way that you are not hindered by those of other vibration. And the other option is simply to move yourself out of that force field. And they're being pretty black and white. I've been accused of being black and white in my life. And I mean, I had an experience with my ex-husband where we were in a very positive, very loving relationship for 20 years. And neither of us really, we didn't go through a lot of negativity or arguments or anything before we split up. It was almost surreal how it happened. And if anybody had said to me that my path would accelerate that much because of separating from Jeremy, I would have found it difficult to believe, because he was very loving and supportive and in no way holding me back as far as I was concerned. And nevertheless, when we separated, my path accelerated hugely. So it's not, even when it's not that obvious, sometimes it just does take that. And, you know, there are many different ways that you can go about just initially making some more space for yourself, changing the situation that you're actually in, etc. But it's pretty much the time is now. If you are that consciously on your path and it's more important to you
than
there's nothing more important to me right now, and I don't really care if I'm going to not have a husband or what to do with, you know, our son. I can't even concentrate on the details. I just can concentrate on how I feel when I am close to the other person, and then I'm not the high vibration that I want to keep.
Even from the way you're speaking about the situation, it's obvious that you're not able to be emotionally detached and in your own energy while still being in that relationship. You know, it sounds like you're feeling a bit desperate and very frustrated.
Yes, because it's a person who does not respect my spirituality, and right now there's nothing more important to me, and I think a lot of women might be feeling this way.
Yes.
It really is about letting go and letting God. And I think, you know, on one side, I know for many years I actually, you know, was single in terms of that acceleration of my own ascension process, I guess, in terms of stepping into the role of where I am now. And a lot of people choose that in partnerships because, of course, that's also a very rapid way to accelerate your soul growth through many of those lessons and challenges and reflections. So it's certainly one way to go, and often those contracts that come into play are karmic in the extent of actually, you know, pushing those buttons and taking you to another level. But those are part of the old contracts. You know, the new contracts now are simply just based on love, where you can choose to magnetize into your reality a soulmate or twin flame, someone that truly just sees you and wants to love you and honor you and be with you.
Yeah.
And if you're not in a relationship like that, it's creating it and knowing that that person you're with is wanting to create that with you. And if they're not, you just really have to let go. That is really, I wouldn't say this generally, because I'm a firm believer in working with relationships, but where we are from a planetary perspective now, it's just being in that vibration of love. And anything and anyone that doesn't see you and doesn't love you and embrace you in the goddess that you are just isn't worth being in your reality. They're just not.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you so much. I suspect that the answer would be that, but it helps to hear a confirmation from both of you. And the Star Councils, of course. Thank you very much.
Okay, Roberta, thank love and thanks.
Namaste.
Namaste. And we have Atenzia. We have some gorgeous sounding names. Atenzia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And what's your question?
Okay, my question is very much related to this question that the lady had. It is about twin flame relationship, what I call the new age relationships, about overcoming the ego and transcending the control and regulations and moving onto unconditional love. I know you don't answer personal questions, so I want to kind of make a broad question. as I've been in this relationship for 2 years, which it's been about releasing the control, the regulations, about balancing the ego. And it's been a spiritual relationship, but I'm moving towards making it physical. What can the consoles add to this new age relationship?
So you're in a relationship, and it hasn't been physical so far, but you're wanting that.
Yes.
Yes, and you're asking just for general advice about relationships in the new age?
Yes.
Yes, okay. This is unlike a period that has ever been before on the earth plane. You have spoken already about the difference between the energies and relationships now and in the past. There is a great interest in tantric sex and tantric energies and relationships. And this is entirely appropriate because as far as sexual relationships go, this is one of the area in which you have been most successfully hoodwinked, dear earth beings. For sexual energies allow you to combine the God-Goddess energies within your physical body. Sexual union allows you to move into a higher altered space and is not only about physical pleasure. The physical pleasure is there almost as a way to entice you human beings into a way of expanding your energies together. And this is why you ask the question now, dear one, at this stage in the relationship, so that you may investigate this particular aspect, the aspect of Tantra. Tantra has been much confused in your society, and so clear your mind of all previous concepts and simply know that it is a way of going into a sexual relationship without the sex being about lust, about staying in the lower chakras with merely physical sensation, attraction, and lust or desire for each other in a bodily way. It is a way of using the sexual excitement energies consciously so that all of your chakras may be stimulated, and that you may bring this strong energy up through the chakras and together reach a state of harmony, bliss, and enlightenment. Does this not sound appealing to you, dear one, that your future sexual relationship will assist your spiritual path and energies? Will bond the two of you in such a way as you never previously dreamt of. And it is necessary to open this other one to these ideas in a gentle way that you may have a sacred sexual relationship as was always the perfect design for human couples on your planet. Namaste. So my guides think that you asked this question specifically because you needed to investigate Tantra so that you can bring your new partner into some understanding of it in a very gentle way.
And of course, Tantra just means union with God, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know.
Yes. What do you think, Atenzia? Do you know anything about Tantra? Atenzia?
Yes.
Hi. Do you know anything about Tantra?
Yes, I do. And everything that you've spoken, it resonated very true. When I read it, and yes, I feel like the sexual union is more of a step towards ascension, to unite it to more in a spiritual way.
Fantastic. You're on their wavelength then. That's fantastic. I think we should just take the next caller, and I'll let you answer that one, Andrita. So we'll say love and thanks to you, Atenzia. Love and thanks.
Thank you, Atenzia.
Bye.
Namaste. Bye.
Well, I think that would be a topic all on its own.
Yes, definitely.
Talking about Tantra. So is there someone else on the line?
Janice, are you there?
Hi, this is Janice.
Oh, Janice, sorry.
Yes.
Hi, Janice.
Hi, Janice.
Hi. I'd just like to first off thank Solara for hosting the 10-10-10 event at Mount Shasta. I was meant to be there, but for whatever reason, my plane got canceled, and I guess my energies just weren't meant to be there. But when I saw the event on your website, I just wept. It was such a magical moment to see.
Thank you, Janice. My pleasure.
And your site and your meditations, I've just been devouring them, and they've been so helpful. So thank you deeply from my heart.
Oh, thank you so much.
So a question. I'm going to try to keep my question somewhat general. I've recently found out that I'm moving to China, which is kind of exciting. And I'm assuming now that my light work is taking me to China, and so that's why I'm going there. But over the meditations that I've been doing for years and years now, I guess it's 3 years, maybe four, I feel like I've come to the realization that I'm of Palladian origin, and I'm sure others are feeling the same way. Like when I tap into the Palladian energies, it just feels so loving and magical and just incredible. So I feel like I'm very connected there. So my question is, do the people who feel like they're of this origin, is there some type of connection of the Palladians to China or that land? And once we do feel like we are part of this sort of, you know, if we're star seeds or if that's what we're called, how is this useful in the ascension process?
Well, I think there are many Palladian star seeds. In fact, not just Palladian, of course, it's Sirian and Andromedan to a lesser degree, a lot of Arcturian star seeds. Most of the light workers that are here have that genetic lineage into having those connections into their own lineage of Christed ETs, either working with them or actually coming through in that genetic lineage. The Palladian emissaries of light, of course, hold that fifth dimensional frequency that we're moving into as much as the Arcturian emissaries of light in the forward ascension of humanity. And they come through very much with this just essence of unconditional love, very creative energy, very joyful energy, and quite playful. And the connection that they're making into the star-seeded ones now at this moment is really, I think, taking us a little bit more into the joy, into the playfulness aspect, but also in moving to where you need to be in terms of geographic locations to hold and anchor those frequencies of light. Because what is happening is not only are you activating the key codes for yourself, but the key codes that have been activated within your hologram and body at this now moment are actually key codes needed for the particular environment or place or location that you're choosing to move to or are at this moment in time. And, of course, those are soul contracts that you've made on the inner planes, because you must remember each one of us comes through with particular soul contracts. In terms of the collective consciousness of how many Palladians have moved into Chinese bodies, I can't say for sure that it's a huge amount, although, of course, it is quite a large Chinese population. So it would probably be a relative thing. I know in terms of the consciousness, a lot of Palladians have incarnated in Japanese bodies. lifting, there's a level of lifting that. And of course, I think it would be wonderful to see, which we've seen a lot of the changes in China itself. So you're talking about the consciousness of the people that have created that etheric net within and around the country that are shifting it, not only from within the consciousness of the people themselves, but of course through the systems of light beings. Moving to a particular location and activating those key codes is not necessarily about connecting with other Pleiadian starseeds. Of course, that is happening a lot more, or with just, you know, those that are starseeds. It is often about lifting a particular level of consciousness or clearing in particular places too, because that is what we do as planetary light workers. So possibly for you, your journey to China is in part not necessarily about networking on a larger scale with other starseeds, but really about holding that energetic frequency and shifting the etheric net there. And of course, there is a lot of disparity of wealth in China. It's also shifting, it's shifted in terms of the communistic into the capitalistic society, but still a lot of suppression. And in parts of the country, of course, particularly those rural places, not only a lot of poverty, but a lot of false beliefs and judgments around, unfortunately, life itself, and still the killing of a lot of the little girls that are born in particular areas and brought into rural in particular parts of the country too, and going back into the lineage with a lot of abuse and misuse of power as a state. So going there is actually shifting very much that first ray energy of will and power, and possibly that is just part of your soul contract as a warrior of light.
That's very useful information.
Yeah, my guides are saying the same thing. They're saying that it's not going to be immediately obvious when you get there what you're doing there, but that you definitely are being drawn there as a light worker, that the vibration that you take really seriously is going to help, and you're going to have to know that that is happening, even if it doesn't at first look that obvious.
Do your guides, is it true that the Palladians came here with a blue light energy to overlight the earth before, as the earth was being created, or as soon as, or something to that nature? Do your guides have any...
I don't know that, actually. I have no idea. Do you know, Anita?
Well, the Pleiadians have been involved in the forward evolution of humanity for eons of time, but in terms of the genetic lineage of humanity, from my understanding, actually, it's Therian-based, and it also is in part based from the Anunnaki as well. So that's why we have had the dualities on the earth plane that we've had. But the Syrian Archangelic League of the Light are the forefathers to humanity. And, of course, they were primarily involved in ancient Egypt and Atlantean societies, lifting us into the consciousness through the mystery school teachings. The Pleiadians, of course, have worked in the alliance very much with the Syrians and often the Andromedans, and more recently, in fact, in terms of their ancient history, very much with Lyra and very much with Arcturus. And Arcturus itself is very technologically advanced. So many alliances have been formed by the different star groups, which brings through many of the teachings of light through galactic councils of light. And the Pleiadians, of course, have also downstepped their form, their vibration, come through onto this earth plane as part of that star alliance. And in this moment, of course, there are many, many Pleiadian star seeds. There are a few that have downstepped their vibration and come in form as pure Pleiadians, but most of us that are here are hybrids.
And Janice, before we let you go, my guides just want to say one thing to you. They say that you really need to hear this. And then we're going to take a last call from Shiva. So this is what my guides are saying to you, Janice. Now, these are Pleiadian guides. We have no idea why you Earth beings ask questions that you already know the answer to. For you wish to know if you are Pleiadian, but your very question allows you to know that you are. When you are drawn into resonance with Pleiadian information and vibration, This means automatically that you are magnetizing towards yourself that which you are, the vibration which you are. And we see you, dear Pleiadian sister. And we are greatly pleased that you recognize us at last, having forgotten us for much of your lifetime. Is this not so?
Yes, true.
So they just want to let you know, yes, yes, you are a Pleiadian.
Thank you. I have tears in my eyes. The message is beautiful. Thank you.
Love and thank you, Janice. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Bye-bye.
And Shiva, do you have a question quickly before we close?
Oh, yes. Very quickly. Hi, I'm Rita and Solana. Love you guys, and thank you for everything.
Hi, Shiva.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Yes, and I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I know we're running out of time. I just would like to know, and I just confirmation if I'm just on the right path. It seems like, especially this past week, I feel as if like a whole part of me has been just like ripped off, and I feel much lighter. I kind of feel like I'm a little lunatic, and I see all these numbers and as if it's communication, and when I look up what these numbers are, they seem to make sense, but, you know, and I'm just going through a major life change, career, and people around me, I'm starting to see it's as if a mask has been taking off their face, and mine as well, and I'm just seeing what they really are, with love, but it's kind of frightening.
So my guys are answering
you already.
And I'm
trying to hold it all together with not judging.
Okay, Shiva, this is from my guys. It often seems these days that you are indeed going insane, and indeed those around you may look at you and think that you have finally lost the plot entirely. As you change your ways of being and let go of that which doesn't serve you. You find if you communicate with other warriors of the light that this is happening all around, for it is not possible to stay in the same jobs, in the same place, with the same TV programs and the same food, and alter your vibration sufficiently to keep you happy. In order to be happy, those who have recognized their light paths need to shed the old ways to a large extent. And this may feel frightening as you step into the void, and it is such that it is necessary for you to take that step into the unknown in order for your bright and rosy future to reveal itself. This is the way until you are able to see clearly your past, present, and future simultaneously, as we do. You need to take that step bravely, simply going with the flow, and the numbers are simple synchronous messages from the councils of light, from the universal forces of the highest order. They will send you number synchronicity. They will send you words of songs. They will send you feathers in your path as signs to show that your way is lit, that you are overlighted by the higher beings that assist you now. You are in every way on your path. All of you light warriors who listen now, we say you are on your paths. let go of what others may think of you and be as crazy as you like, as long as the new ways are bringing you joy and higher vibration, then you are on the correct track. Namaste.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. That's lovely. And, of course, you've just moved through this whole 10-10 gateway.
Yes.
Which is so much about transformation and upgrades of the emotional mental bodies and working with the finding that threefold flame of power, love, and wisdom, just activating at a deeper level. So it's a beautiful moment in time to really know that we've actually moved out of these slightly denser energetic vibrations that have been experienced, I think, in waves over the last 3 months. And it is time really now to just embrace yourself and be that wild man, wild woman dancing naked in the forest and experiencing joy in your life. And as you say, like, not worrying about what other people think about you and creating and limiting yourself in these little boxes. Get out there as the leader that you are and enjoy and embrace life. An experience tantra.
Love and thank you, Shiva.
Awesome. Thank you. Namaste to you all, too. Love
Namaste.
You.
Namaste.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Well, that was wonderful, Solara. I think we've come to an end of our show, coming close to that. I know that, again, it's always lovely to let our listeners know that we're going to be doing this show together on a weekly basis, well, alternate weeks, and then every sixth or seventh week we'll connect again and do a show together. So tune in and listen to us. That will be on next Tuesday on Ascension Keys to Self-Mastery, and the following week it will be Solara Unra, who will be hosting the show. So please have a look on our respective websites. For at the Melchizedek and Pleiadian Light Network at pleiadianlight.net and our YouTube channel at Anrita Melchizedek for updates, new YouTubes, and also details of the shows that we're going to be doing. So, Laura?
Yes.
Those details?
Yes, and my YouTube is Solara Unra, and my website is www.solara.org.uk. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's listening in, because I can feel your frequencies. Thank you so much for all the love and light that you are sending our way. Thank you so much for staying in your hearts, as I asked you to do at the beginning. I love you very much, and I will speak to you soon. Thank you so much, Anrita Melchizedek.
Lovely. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to head out to Solara's Way this Sunday at the Shekinah Temple. And thank you all. We love you and we appreciate you all as these master beings in this co-creation. So from my heart and to yours and to the cosmic heart of all creation, blessings in love.